Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guest this week is fur bear biologist Stephanie Tucker. Steph, let's talk about coyotes first. How are the coyote numbers doing in North Dakota?
Sure, coyotes are our most popular fur bear in North Dakota. We have a lot of them. The market value for coyote pelts the last several years, including this year, continues to be good and strong. So there's a lot of interest by hunters and trappers in going after coyotes and pursuing them for their fur. But our coyote trends this year, our statewide and regional trends, indicate that coyote numbers are probably going to be similar to last year, if not slightly lower in some regions. Now, there's always exceptions to that. Our trends are these statewide big surveys, you know, that are hard to really pinned down in localized or smaller areas. So some people might have better coyote numbers in a local area, but statewide trends are similar to last year, a little bit lower.
Okay, and the hunting and trapping season for coyote goes all year long?
Right, hunting and trapping for coyotes is all year long, although we do have separate night hunting and cable device seasons, and those start right after deer gun season closes and goes to March 15th. So we get kind of that late season during when the coyote pelts are prime.
Okay, and we had some new legislation that went into effect this year.
Right. So several years ago, via proclamation, we started allowing the use of night vision and thermal imaging equipment for the night hunting season for coyotes and fox. And there's been a lot of interest and popularity in that night hunting and using that equipment for coyotes since then. But one of the challenges when we began allowing that equipment is there's these infrared illuminators that are often used in conjunction with night vision equipment. And according to state law, it was illegal to use artificial lights for night hunting of coyotes. And so that was in state law. That wasn't something we could change as a department. And so last year's legislative session took a look at that law and made some changes. Not only can you use those infrared illuminators with your night vision equipment, you can also use red or green filtered lights for night hunting of coyotes and fox during the night hunting season. The night hunting season dates are similar to the previous year, so again, starts right after deer gun season closes and runs to mid-March.
Okay, so night hunting doesn't go all year, just those dates.
Correct. We have a night hunting season.
Steph, what kind of feedback are we getting since we have allowed this night vision and thermal imaging equipment for coyotes?
Right, we've allowed this equipment for several years now, and then with the legislative changes, there'll be some additional equipment that folks can use starting this season. And to be honest, the feedback's been pretty mixed. You know, some avid coyote hunters are pretty excited to be able to use this equipment now and pursue coyotes maybe more effectively or easily at night than they have during daytime hours in the past. And other coyote hunters are not so pleased. They maybe think that it's giving us an unfair advantage, you know, hunting advantage over coyotes, and that maybe it's maybe a little bit beyond, you know, what we should be allowing. So the feedback has been mixed.
Let's move into the mountain lion season, Steph. How did things go in the early season?
Right. So we had five mountain lions taken in the Zone 1 early season. We also had one mountain lion taken in Zone 2 during the early season time frame. Again, we have two zones in the state. So the Badlands region is Zone 1. That is where our breeding population of mountain lions resides and where we restrict the harvest to allow for a sustainable population year after year. Whereas Zone 2 is the rest of the state, not suitable mountain lion habitat, but we do get mountain lions that wander out across the rest of the state. All year long, various times a year, mountain lions will turn up in Zone 2. And so we have a season out there as well to allow hunting opportunities for when mountain lions take off out of Zone 1. In Zone 1 early season, like I said, we had five taken in the early season. There was a limit of eight, so the limit was not reached during that early season time frame. And then when deer gun season closed, our late season opens. And the only difference between the early season and the late season in Zone 1 really is you can use hounds now. And you can also use hounds in Zone 2. And there's a late season limit of seven mountain lions in Zone 1.
If a hunter does harvest a mountain lion, what do they need to do?
Right. So according to our regulations, you have 12 hours to report your harvest to our department. Typically, that's your local game warden of where the harvest took place, or maybe if you don't live near where the harvest took place, where you reside is fine either way. So you have 12 hours to report that, and then the local warden will make arrangements with you to meet up with you, check in the mountain lion, give you a pelt tag for that mountain lion. After the pelt has been removed from the mountain lion, you are required to give us the entire carcass, including the head. And we will conduct a necropsy. We collect all of our population demographic information that we use to monitor trends, population trends from those carcasses. So it's very important that we get those carcasses back. That's why we require it. And then usually we make every opportunity to get the mountain lion heads back to the hunters after we're done collecting the information we need from them.
This is our third river otter trapping season only. How are things going there?
Right, so this year we increased our trapping or harvest limit for river otters. It's a statewide season, trapping only, traps or cable devices. We increased the limit to 20 this year, one river otter per trapper. And it was, again, very popular. And a lot of people hit the ground running as soon as that season opened, and it continues to be a very popular opportunity to go after a river otter in North Dakota.
Okay, with all this water in the landscape this year, any changes in muskrats?
Right, so, you know, lots of water on the landscape meant that we had a good reproductive season for muskrats this past summer and that they responded to that. But it's hard to tell. We don't do any late fall surveys or winter surveys for muskrats. Our surveys for muskrats are primarily done in the spring. And so, you know, our spring surveys from earlier this past April didn't really show an uptick in muskrat numbers anywhere in the state. But I wouldn't be surprised if locally or on a smaller regional scale, some people did see, you know, more muskrats in their area due to the good water conditions we had on the landscape this past summer.
Okay, let's talk about some rules and regulations on our wildlife management areas.
So a couple years ago, we started requiring that all trapping equipment left on our WMAs be identified with either the trapper's name, address, and telephone number, or their equipment ID number. And of course, you can get an equipment ID number on our website when you log into your account. There's a link down there where you can register to get equipment ID number. That ID stays with you for your lifetime and never changes. You can also use that equipment ID number for your tree stands or ground binds left on WMAs, or even your ice houses, your fish houses left unattended on ice. You can use that equipment ID number. And so we just want to remind people that if you're going to leave trapping equipment on WMAs, that it be tagged and identified. The other thing to note about cable devices, so our cable device season for most species just opened here after deer gun season closed recently, but you cannot use cable devices or snares on our WMAs until after pheasant season closes. So we have a lot of activity, a lot of dog hunters using our WMAs during this high time of year for upland game seasons, and so we make people hold off in using those cable devices until after those seasons close.
A lot of great information, Steph, thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
For more information on fur bears or fur bear seasons in North Dakota, visit the Game and Fish Department's website at gf.nd.gov. For fur bear biologist Stephanie Tucker and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us for this week's Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.